Good morning. I'd like to ask you to open up in your copies of God's Word to the fourth chapter of Philippians. This will be familiar territory for you. Many favorite passages are found here. Let's give our reverent attention to God's Word. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I know we've already prayed, but I'd like to pray briefly before we open this passage. Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit has for us this morning. Father, as the giants that preceded us prayed, I too would pray, hide me in Christ, Lord. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be the focus of our intention, of our meditation this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that you've been taught in your classes that many of Paul's letters, probably say all of them, have a division to them. The first portion is doctrine, and the second half, or some portion of it, is application. Oftentimes it's 50-50, 60-40. Philippians is more of a 75-25, but we find ourselves in the application section in chapter 4. President York already, in his prayer, mentioned that we live in a dark day. I can list all the standard things. We all know them. COVID, elections, civil unrest, economic turmoil, Russia, China, the whole nine yards. But I want to say to you, there's nothing new under the sun. The world hasn't changed. Unbelievers continue to suppress the truth and act in rebellion. The world is at war with Christ's church. And too often, as believers, we kind of go into panic mode, and we think we need to do something. We need to go on the offensive, take the turf. And for Reformed believers, oftentimes that comes down to, well, we need to fix our theology. For RPs, we think that singing the Psalms is going to fix everything. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret me. I believe in good doctrine. I believe in psalmody. But it's not where it ends. See, good theology needs to be lived out. And chapter 4 of Philippians opens up with a robust corporate command to stand firm. To stand firm, you must promote unity, rejoice in the Lord, demonstrate reasonableness, pray, and think God's thoughts. That's the flow of this passage. And probably President York is panicked because he's thinking there's no way that's going to be covered in 20 minutes. So he's right. We're not going to. The head command to stand firm is followed by these additional commands. Cultivating unity, rejoicing, being reasonable, praying without ceasing. And if I can put my own wording on the final command about thinking about what is honorable and good and just, etc., I'm just going to simply say we need to think God's thoughts. We're not going to cover that. I'm going to reduce this to one simple point this morning. Standing firm requires that you demonstrate reasonableness. We are to stand firm in the Lord. Paul starts our passage with the word therefore. It's the old kind of saw that people use. Whenever you see therefore, ask what the therefore is there for. It's looking backward at the material that we've just read in light of this, because there are many enemies of the cross, 3:18, because our citizenship is in heaven, 3:20, because we're waiting for Christ to return, 3:20, because Christ will transform us into his image, 3:21, because of all these things, do something, stand firm. This command arises out of a deep affection. Paul calls them brothers. Brothers who Paul longs for, yearns for. They're his beloved. They're his joy and crown. And he gives them a command. Stand firm. It's a military term. Staketa. It pictures a soldier standing in the midst of the oncoming onslaught. Think most of you, I'm sure, have seen this. Lord of the Rings, Helm's Deep, they're in the fortress, and the hordes are coming. Quick aside, they missed Aragorn. Aragorn was uncertain in the movie. Aragorn stands and he says, "Prepare to die." And the odds are against him. There's our word, stand. An army is a plural. An army is not an individual. So this is something we do together. James Boyce observes that this command, this word, is not about advancing in battle and conquering. Rather, it is simply to stand. And the implication here is that God is doing the fighting. He's done the conquering. And it's a difference between offensive and defensive warfare. Offensive says, I don't have that ground. I'm going to go take it. Listen to this. Defensive says, I have this ground. And you're not going to take it. That's the picture of the Roman centurion, right? Nobody comes in his 6 feet. Well, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, right? Colossians chapter 2. He triumphed over them. We don't need to reconquer ground. We need to stand on the ground that Christ has already won. And here in 4:1, Paul is pointing us back to all these things in chapter 3. He's saying, stand and keep it. So in the cultural confusion and fear, the Satan and the world would have us forget what is already ours, what Christ has already done, the victory that Christ has already won. You already possess it. Live like it. Now, there's a lot in this passage. I'd love to spend 3 hours unpacking it. We're focusing on reasonableness. To stand firm, and this is, remember, addressed to, if you will, an army, corporately, we're doing this together, we need to demonstrate reasonableness. See if I can pronounce this. My old first Greek teacher is sitting in the back of the room. President York, if I miss it, it's your fault. Ereikeia. It's a difficult word in Greek. Patience, softness, modesty, forbearance, gentleness, goodwill, fairness, magnanimity, equitable, mild. There's a lot of words that are used to translate this. The Brown driver, Arnton Gingrich, not insisting. Not insisting.
Can I be repetitious?
Not insisting on every right, every letter of the law. Yielding, gentle, kind, courteous, tolerant. The Greeks considered this word to be about justice and something better than justice. How can something be better than justice? Well, let's explore that. You see, reasonableness begins when strict justice becomes unjust. Because it fails to consider the specifics and only operates in generality. There can be times when a law that is just becomes unjust due to circumstances. Your wife is pregnant, and you are speeding to the hospital. Letter of the law is a fine and whatever other punishments. Reasonableness is, I'll turn the lights on and I'll get you to the hospital even faster. This is the teacher who says, no late assignments. If you turn your work in late, letter grade cut for every day. And student A turns his paper in a day late, gets a reduction. Student B turns his paper in a day late and doesn't get a reduction. Why? Reasonableness. Because student B's house was flooded the night before. Reasonableness is knowing when not to apply the letter of the law, when to relax the strict application of justice and introduce mercy. I want to encourage you in all of your studies, and by all means, study hard. Knowledge is not your end goal. Knowledge of Scripture is essential to your future ministry. You must learn. You need to learn how and when to apply these truths. You must learn to rightly apportion the word of truth in order to become an approved worker, not in order to become a theological tyrant. I would encourage you all to seek men of experience who can mentor you, men who are experienced, who demonstrate this quality. Jesus gives us an example, doesn't he? In John chapter 8, there's a woman caught in adultery. And they bring him to her to him. Caught her in the very act. What do we do? The letter of the law. Pick up the stones. Let's get her. Jesus could have applied the letter of the law. It would have been deserved. It would have been just. But what does he say? Go and sin no more. Isn't that the gospel? Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. We have so much to learn as Reformed believers from this word. I've been in the courts too many years now. We love the Book of Discipline and Procedure. In one sense, it's important. We love dotting our I's and crossing our T's. We really want to be right. And we forget about reasonableness. You need, as future pastors and ministers, workers in Christ's church, to learn to give your people space to grow. You need to work patiently to change things. Maybe you come into a church where Sabbath observance isn't what you would like. Time. Teach. Love. Trust God to change your people. Don't pull out the baseball bat. You need to be characterized by having the long view. Don't be those who just, well, it's not going my way, so I'll take my ball and go home. You are to be committed to Christ's church, and to work in it, you must demonstrate reasonableness. I want every one of you to be known as a pastor, a minister, a worker in Christ's church, as one who has conviction. But be gentle. Have a rod of steel as your backbone, but clothe it in a glove of velvet. Paul says in our text, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." That should motivate us. The word "at hand" can be spatial. He's physically close. Well, we know that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. His eyes see us. His ears hear us. But it also has to do with time. His coming is at hand. This is perhaps similar to James 5:8. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So I'm asking you to examine your lives. Honestly, has he not demonstrated reasonableness to you? And since he is near to you, you need to demonstrate this to others. This is not capitulation. We are sometimes called to administer justice. But we're also called to mercy. So you need James chapter 1, verse 5. If you lack this, ask for wisdom. Ask that you would be tempered by mercy. And I love that passage. God gives this generously and without reproach. I love that word. When I'm asking for wisdom, I'm thankful that God is not going, "What's the matter, you dummy? You know, you've been walking with me for 25, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. How come you don't know this by now?" He doesn't do that. So learn how to give grace. I want to tell a quick story as I close here. A man who mentored me in Indiana, Pastor Dave Long, demonstrated this. I was not a Reformed believer when they started the Elkhart work. I asked an awful lot of questions. I was a little bit of a pain in the neck. Be quiet. And Dave had driven up 2.5 hours to Elkhart with some of his elders, one of them, Jeff Kessler, asked him on the return home, "Is that blocky guy ever going to get it?" And Dave's answer has stuck with me. And I've tried to use it as a model myself, but it demonstrates this word. He said, "Jeff, he's in the Word. God will show it to him." You see, God's the one who changes people. So you can demonstrate reasonableness. And in so doing, you will build the unity of Christ's church. So there's more to seminary than the study of church history, the confession of faith, systematics and distinctives, Greek and Hebrew, and biblical counseling. And I'm probably missing something that you're taking a course in. Those are your tools. Learn them well. But beyond them, learn reasonableness, because then you will help the church stand firm. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we love your word. We love the fact that you have given us truth and that we can guide our lives accordingly. that we have a sure place to stand upon. But Father, help us to be those who are characterized by reasonableness, by the same mercy that you have demonstrated to us. May we be men and women, people who extend this same quality to those that we are working with. And in so doing, Lord, build your church. Cause us to stand firm in a dark age, to be that light shining brightly on a hill. We pray in Jesus' name. Sorry, I didn't have that one in my head. 107H is what I selected.